This is Wine, Women, and Revolution with your host, Heather Warburton, coming at you here on New Jersey Revolution Radio. Hi, and welcome to Wine, Women, and Revolution. I'm your host, Heather Warburton, coming at you here on New Jersey Revolution Radio. You can find us online at www.njrevolutionradio.com. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts from. We have somebody I've been trying to interview for so long, and she's just been a very busy woman. Well, use your full name, Rhianna.
Yeah, hi, my name is Rhianna Sagan.
I've met Rhianna through a Food Not Bombs group that we were both participating in, and that was when I learned just how awesome she is, that this woman tried to take the stage during the March for Our Lives in Philadelphia to talk about police violence and the systemic violence.
I briefly was able to actually take the stage.
I actually had seen the videos of you doing that before I even met you, and I was like, who is this badass? So that was very, what made you decide to do that?
So everyone was really just like, so focusing on like, because of the school shootings and all, which are horrible. And there's other ways to solve it than getting rid of guns completely from the people. And a big factor, like I have, that I wanted to bring attention to is all of the police gun violence against marginalized communities, against everybody, but especially against poor communities, Black and brown communities, and queer communities. It's the proportions that the police are attacking marginalized communities are ridiculous. And I just thought it to be a little absurd that we were going to talk about gun violence and not talk about the biggest criminals.
The systemic violence that's just built into the system. Yeah, it seems like you're separating things that are very systemically tied together. The violence is violence is violence. And
yeah.
So how did that get responded?
So I was escorted off of stage. But I think I kind of like, I just think a good part of, even though I was escorted off stage, I think a benefit is that I managed to even get up there, which is pretty cool that like, and I just kind of hope it could have inspired someone to be like, hey, let's not fucking listen to these people and let's kind of do our own thing. And if they're going to try and silence us, we're going to make them hear us.
Do you know how many people saw that video of you? Did you ever get a total, like, view count about it?
It was a lot.
Yeah, it was shared on quite a few different groups.
It was, like, over 100,000.
Wow, that is very impressive. Well, I definitely saw it, I know, and I'm sure you definitely had an impact on some people, even if you haven't met those people yet.
Yeah.
But your troublemaking did not stop there. Which is really what we want to get into. You, my woman, my friend, have been through the ringer. Unfortunately, Philly has not been kind to you. Do you want to set up the background for what happened?
So, Philly has been kind to me. Philly PD has not. During Pride Month, let me start off with, Pride is not about this watered-down liberal capitalist scheme to have, like, puking rainbows and selling merch and all of that. It's not, that's not what Pride is. At its heart, Pride is revolutionary. Pride is a riot. Pride was literally began as a riot.
Right, that's how it started.
Like, Pride at its roots is anti-capitalist, anti-fascist, and just so, it's raw energy and anger of marginalized queer people. And Pride shouldn't be used for, like, a marketing ploy.
Right, it's been turned into a consumable commodity.
Yeah. Pride should be this this angry and almost unpalatable thing. Like, pride should be queer people showing their rage until we really do get our rights. Because it's not like pride should be celebrated now as, like, a celebration. Like, yeah, we did it, because we didn't. Like, we're still fighting every single day. And it's so, like, the white cis gay men, mainly, are very much, like, taking over the queer community and, like, pretending to be the leaders, when in reality, trans women of color have been the leaders the whole time. Like, the beginnings of revolution was from trans women of color, Marsha P. Johnson and Sylvia Rivera. Like, there's just such raw strength behind them, and it's just, it's disheartening to see it watered down.
So much is watered down. All revolution is being watered down left and right. That's the agenda of this country. Make it civil, make it polite, make it easily to digest. And that's not what revolutionary action is ever supposed to be about. It shouldn't be easy. It shouldn't be polite. You can't politely revolt, essentially. So what happened at Pride?
So at Pride, I went in Philly. And I had obtained a Blue Lives Matter flag previously, and I brought it. I was masked up just to kind of prevent publicity.
That didn't work out so well.
Publicity of myself, at least. I wanted the event to be broadcasted, but I didn't really plan on myself getting involved. So I put my bag down, I took the flag out, I put the flag on the ground, and I was getting out a lighter. I didn't even take anything out of my bag. I was grabbing my lighter because I was gonna allegedly burn a flag. So,
which is a constitutionally protected right.
Oh, yeah.
Let's not forget that.
Yeah. And also, it was a Blue Lives Matter flag, so we'll get to that in a minute. And then basically I was tackled by about 4 or 5 police officers. I immediately threw my hands up while I was laying on my stomach and said, I'm not resisting.
Because you were scared at that point in time.
Oh, yeah. Because I was doing nothing illegal, so I didn't expect... I mean, I should have had less faith in the state and the police to do their jobs properly, though.
But you weren't expecting to be met with that kind of violence. You were expecting them to, at worst, treat you like a nuisance.
Yeah.
Not public enemy number one for looking for a lighter.
Yeah. So I went... they, like, walked me over to the cop car, they put me in, and they were, like, they, like, rolled down, they opened the door while I was, like, in the back, and they were, like, oh, like, are you a boy or a girl? Which, like, it's kind of, like, I'm not even mad about them asking that, because, like, I do occasionally, like, I had an androgynous appearance, and, like, I was kind of, like, okay, cool, like, they're asking, like, okay, at least I'm not gonna be, like, abused for that. But then, so then I was like, I'm a girl. And they got a female officer to pat me down. And they put, and, like, I was pat down. Then on the ride, it was 2 men in the front of the car. Like, 2 police, male police officers. And on the ride to the station, it was just that kind of, like, jeering, mocking, like, speak, like, oh, why'd you want to burn a Blue Lives Matter flag? And the one guy was like, he was like, oh, do you know how many, like, these gay people have, like, these polyester costumes and glitter? They would go up in flames if you lit something around them.
So they were actually mocking the community they were there protecting.
Yes. And he was, like, just making a joke of it. And So I wasn't talking. I just wasn't talking at all the whole time.
Which, tip, you shouldn't be interacting with the police. There's certain, you have to give your name. But anything else, you shouldn't be talking to the police. They're not on your side.
Don't talk to cops, kids.
Little learning for the revolutionary in training.
Say, lawyer up.
But anyway, so they're mocking the community and you're doing the right thing. You're sitting there silently.
Yeah. So then we get to, like, the station. And they, like, the two cops, like, the arresting officers or whatever, they, like, go do their cop thing. I don't know, eat donuts, smell like bacon, etc. So they, then there was this other woman, this officer, and she was like, oh, like, why'd you try to burn a Blue Lives Matter flag? That's, like, for my fallen brothers and sisters. And I scoffed. I literally just was like, ugh.
So you could tell they were making this personal.
Yeah. Which, honestly, I'm kind of glad it was, because, I'm glad I offended them, especially in the sense that it just shows that if they can take a personal offense and let it affect how well they do their job and follow the alleged rules that they follow, it just shows that, like, cops are bad, kids. It just shows
that... It validates everything you're saying.
It validates every single thing I'm saying, that these cops are essentially these animals that act as these tools of the state and just exist to oppress.
So they decided to kind of take revenge on you a little bit.
Yeah, they took it very personally. Then they, like, took, like, I had to do the mug shot and stuff. If you do a quick Google search, I'm sure you can see it. So then I,
So when they booked you...
Yeah.
They used your dead name.
Yeah, yeah. They used my dead name, pretty much the whole time. And I kept saying, I was like, my name is Rihanna, she, her. And, like, they just kind of didn't care at all. They just kept dead naming me and all that. And, yeah, apparently it was, like, already news at this point. And, like, several media outlets use my dead name as well. One in particular actually put my address online. And my comrades got that rectified rather quickly by, like, calling and freaking out on the media agency and the writer. So that got rectified within a few hours. But still, that's kind of a crappy media... person. Like, your job isn't to endanger me.
Right. You did not commit a crime. You had not even attempted to burn the flag yet. You hadn't even gotten the lighter out yet. And here somebody's telling, here's where this person lives, here's where their family lives. How do you feel about that, cops? Like, this was trying to hurt you.
Yeah, it was a malicious act against a trans woman. Like, it was nothing other than that.
And they booked you as a male, so you ended up in male prison.
Yes. So they actually, the only time they really, like, even respected my gender a little bit was kind of half-assed even in itself. They put me in a separate waiting cell in the jail, still in the men's ward, but they put me in a cell by myself at least, because I was like, I can't be with men. Like, that's fucking dangerous.
Right. This is... A trans woman in a male prison is going to most likely be attacked.
Yeah.
Raped at the least. Like, this is not something that these cops should be playing around with. This is not made up. This is a real danger. Yeah. They decided to put you in.
Yeah. And then, so it was kind of like... Then it was like a weird, like, half blackout, half awake, half asleep, like, pretty much my previous trauma just had already prepared me on how to shut my brain down and cope with this. So, like, I literally was, like, in and out of dissociation and crying and feeling broken and feeling angry. Just all these emotions, like, going back and forth. And I was there for a while. Like, at least 12 hours in there. Then,
in the private cell?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, about 12, because I think I was arrested at, like, 1 or 2 in the afternoon-ish. Then at 3 in the morning, they woke me up, and, I did, like, this little consult with, like, some lawyer dude or something. I don't even know who he was. That was just, like, he was just like, oh, this is what's gonna happen. And it was, like, on, like, a computer screen. It was, like, a video chat. And then I did a video chat with the judge, and the judge charged me with the felonies, several felonies, and set the bail. And then
what was your bail set at?
We had to get $500.
Okay, so it was set at $5,000 then?
Yeah.
Okay.
So then I finally managed to get a hold of someone through the police phone. So, really fun fact, if you get arrested in Philly and you call people with without a Philly area code, it doesn't normally go through. So, I was trying all sorts of numbers. I have a lot of my friends and comrades and family members' numbers memorized. Thank God. So I just kept calling people and calling. And then at 3 in the morning, I finally got a hold of my mother. And I was like, Mom, like, bail's at $500. Like, I know you know I got arrested. Like, I know I have people that told you. So, she was like, okay, like, how do I do it? Like, because my mom's never had to bail someone out. I was like, there was, like, this thing, like, a nice poster on the wall that was like, you can pay bail online. And I was like, go to this website.
I was just that they have made this such a, like, money-making thing. Just, like, it's totally set up of, here's how we can take your money. We've made it as easy as possible to take your money.
Yeah, pretty much. It's just like, here's how we're gonna abuse marginalized people's resources as well as them.
So your mother paid the bail.
So bail didn't go through. I later learned that my mom, the website and all was saying that, like, bail wasn't available yet. So then, because I was still in the jail at this point, just like the regular jail.
Mm-hmm.
Then a couple hours go by. And then they get me out of the cell and all, and I'm like, oh, cool, I'm going home.
You thought the veil had come through. I'm like, okay.
I'm like, great.
I survived.
So they put me in this van with, like, there's, like, separate seating for the men and the women. They put me in with the men, and that was kind of the beginning of, like, when I really knew it was going to go downhill. Like, more downhill than it had already been. So then I said to the one guy who was driving the van, I was like, bail was posted. Like, why, where are we going? I was like, are you, like, driving me out at this frickin' police station? So bail wasn't posted, wasn't allowed to be posted. Like, they weren't letting it happen. And I didn't know this at this point, because the dude was just, I was like, where are we going? And he was like, oh, we're going to the correctional facility, like the prison. And I was like, bail, like, what? So, I'm pretty sure they were just so, like, offended by what I did. I feel like they definitely may have affected that.
Like, they just didn't process it in a timely fashion.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, it just hadn't shown up yet.
Yeah. And so, for whatever convenient reason, I was stuck. So we drive to the prison. And we get there. I'm with these men. They do like you go through a scanner and like there's like a whole like weird like process of being like booked into the prison that's separate from being booked into the jail. So it's like they took my shoes. In the jail they take your shoelaces but not your shoes. They did that kind of stuff. Then, and the whole time, by the way, I'm like, I'm a woman. Like, I shouldn't be here. I just kept periodically, like, just so I could say it. Like, why is nobody, listening? So I, also, the whole time I'm in this prison, they would say my dead name. I'd go, Rihanna. Like, I'd say it over them. Mm-hmm. To the point that I was pissing them off and I was gonna keep doing it.
Because they were trying to de-identify you. They were trying to...
Yeah, and they kept using male pronouns, and every time they would do that, I'd do the same thing. I'd say she, her. So I... Then I'm in this, like, one room after, like, we're kind of booked. And it's, like, this waiting room... like waiting cell, big room kind of thing. And they take us out like one by one and that, and like they're doing like health, like they do your weight and like get your blood pressure at this point. Then like people are going into another cell one by one again. Cause like we go into a hallway for that like weight part and like blood pressure. Then we go into, like, a cell, and they, like, strip search you. And I was like, I would like a woman to do this. Like, I'm not comfortable. And the guard who just didn't even do anything, he just said, I'm all we have. And I had to get undressed and be searched. So that was fucking awful. And I'm, like, crying the whole time this is happening, by the way. Like, sobbing.
I think most people would be in this situation. This is pretty horrible. And they did not show you compassion about this at all.
Not at all. So I, then they walk you, like, across the hallway and, put you in another cell to wait. And I think they kind of forgot about me, honestly. Because then nobody else was in this other cell. And then some, like, a nurse came in and was like, why are you still in here? Like, and then took me into, like, this medical wing or something. And there was, like, two offices and, like, there were nurses. And there was a phlebotomist in one and a nurse in another. So I,
You were the nurse and the phlebotomist. Yes.
So, in that ward, I'm crying at this time still, and there's this other woman at a desk, like, a guard watching us, and she goes, why are you crying? Like, you can't show them weakness in here, like, don't cry. And I'm like, I'm in the wrong, like, number one, I shouldn't be in prison. Like, I did nothing wrong, and, like, number two, I'm in a men's prison, like... So I'm, like, still crying. Then, I, like, kind of get it together. And by that I mean I shut my brain off and dissociate. So then I go and, like, see the phlebotomist. She draws blood,
I had no idea that this all happened during a booking. That this is...
This happens when you go into prison. So, right. I don't know. And they fingerprinted me as well. All that. Earlier. They had fingerprinted me earlier. As soon as the felonies were charged. in the jail. So then they take my blood. And first of all, I just want to say the phlebotomist was so bad at her job. I'm like, where did they get you?
They probably don't hire the, like, best, the top of the phlebotomist class. No. To go into the prison.
She, like, missed my vein, and I'm like, ow. Like, I'm so easy to stick. But anyway. Then I go to the nurse, and we're just kind of talking, and she's like, oh, like, why are you in here? And I was like, I allegedly, was gonna burn a flag, and she was like, oh, that was you. And I was like, what do you mean that was me?
Like, they'd been talking about you.
Kinda, yeah. That's what I thought. And she goes, oh, like, yeah, I saw it on the news. And I was like, was my face there? Like, what did you see? Like, what? She was like, oh, it just kind of was, like, really brief. And they were like, oh, yeah, someone tried to burn a flag. And, like, that was it. That's not what the news said.
No.
So she does that, and, she says that, and I'm, like, just kind of, like, in shock for a little bit. Like, oh, like.
Right, you didn't know you'd become a news story at this point in time.
Yeah. Then they put us all in this other cell, and the whole time, I'm like, I kept saying, I would like to be put in protective custody. I'm a trans woman. Like, I'm not safe. Mm-hmm. And a couple of the guards were like, oh, we have to wait for, like, our, I forget her name. Like, it was like a bigger cop than them. Like, that watched the ward or whatever. They were like, oh, we have to ask her. I'm like, okay, like, you can just throw me in another cell, like, without these people, like.
Right.
Like, so then I'm in with these other men for a while. Then they, like, open the cell, and they, like, put me in another cell, by myself.
How long were you in with the men?
Half an hour.
Okay.
At that time. I had been with the men for the entirety right. of the time, the booking process, though. But I was just, like, locked in the same cell, like, steady for about half an hour. Then they put me in the other cell. I'm in there for, I don't even know. Time is so blurry in jail and prison. Like, there's, like, no clocks, no windows. You have, like, no idea what's happening the whole time. And honestly, it's meant to disorient you.
Right. It probably feels so much longer than it really is, too, that it's set up to punish you as much as possible for daring to question the laws of society.
Yeah. So they take me out after a little while, and they do, I talked to this, like, I don't know, I think she was a social worker or something. I talked about, like, because I had told the nurse earlier I take meds for depression and stuff, and we were talking about that. Mm-hmm. And, like, I just kind of was like, yeah, like, these are the meds I take, like. And it was kind of funny because, the social worker was hard of hearing, deaf, and I know American Sign Language, so, like, it was kind of difficult for us to, like, talk, and I had handcuffs on, when I was talking to her, like, behind my back. They kind of handcuffed
me. So you couldn't really sign.
So I actually stood up and turned around and started signing, and it was kind of funny how, like, horrified they get, like, oh my god, she's standing up. Like, they all, like, jump really close. I'm like, I'm just saying, like, I'm just finger spelling what I'm saying to her. Like, it was kind of funny.
Right. That they have no idea what you're doing. Oh, is she plotting something now with this nurse? Because they couldn't understand what you were saying, obviously. And
yeah.
They're freaking out.
Yeah. It was kind of interesting just watching. Yeah, it was satisfying watching them be scared. I'm not even going to lie. It was satisfying.
after what they put you through, you deserved a little satisfaction.
Yeah, I deserved a little chuckle. So then I go back to my cell, like my cell by myself or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the phlebotomist comes back into my cell for some reason with, and she has guards with her. And I'm like, this isn't going to be good. Like, my stomach just dropped already. And she goes, they told me you have to, like, show me your genitals. And I was like, they already did a strip search.
Right. They've seen your genitals at this point in time.
Yeah. And I'm like, why? And she's like, they just told me because, like, to make sure you're trans.
I'm not sure how your genitals would tell them that you were trans.
Yeah. But... so I'm like, immediately start crying again, and like, I disrobe. Because at this point I had already gotten like a brief shower they make you take and then get into the jumpsuit.
Okay.
So I like disrobe and do that. Then a while goes by and I'm like waiting on bail because like I'm like, it's gonna happen.
Right.
Like they're gonna make it as difficult for it to happen, but they're not gonna stop it.
Right.
So I'm a thorn in their side at this point. Every time a guard walks by, I'm like, was bail posted? Like I and my voice carries, if you can't tell by the microphone. Like I can project. I can project.
You could be an opera singer. You've got
yeah, that. Yeah. I've worked in haunted houses and all. I'm good at screaming and being loud. So I'm like, when's bail? So then at one point, one lady was like, one cop was like. Like, oh, yeah, like, it just got posted, like, it's gonna be, like, another hour or so. And, like, she was actually one of the more hospitable ones.
So they had female police officers there. Oh. Could have done the strip searches.
Yes, they had several. So, I just kind of was like, had that moment of like relief almost.
Right.
Like, okay, it's over, but it wasn't, of course. Then they got me. And all the people that were like being discharged, I guess would be the word, like taken out. The men, they put me with the men, and then we all had to sign like our bail paperwork, like, okay, we're leaving,
that you're gonna show up for court
and— yeah, all that stuff. Then put us, like, we each went into a separate cell to get dressed. Then they were like, oh, go in that like other waiting cell. And like, there's all these men in that cell, and I was like, I'm a trans woman, I need protective custody still. And the one girl was like, another female officer, she was like, you'll be fine.
Totally disregarding your concerns.
Yeah. So then I went in there, and one of the men was kind of like, he was flirting with me, sexually harassing me, like, really being pushy. And I'm just, he was like, what's your name? Like, and like other stuff. And I'm just like, not talking to him. So then we get like discharged, I guess. We like, everyone gets their belongings. And then then we go into like this van. And they drive you to the front of the prison property for the, out of the van. And then, like, you're good. Like, you're
right,
gone.
You're out. They don't care about you anymore.
So we're driving, and I'm like, everyone else got their phone. Like, I go, when am I going to get my stuff? And they were like, we didn't have anything for you, like, here. And I was like, what? So I was like, you need to figure this out, like, right now.
Right.
So they, the one guy ran inside, the one police officer, and was like, and then when he came back, he was like, there was a paperwork problem.
There seem to be a lot of these with you.
Yeah. You're not, it's not going to be available for a couple more hours. Like, come back in, like, an hour or two. And I'm like, okay, like, I'll just wait.
Right. You just wanted to get out of there.
Yeah. So, when I got out, my dad was there in a, like, with his car, and, one of my comrades was there who I hadn't seen in a while, a trans woman. She was like, I just kind of came out to support you and, like, say hi.
Well, that's nice.
So that was really cool.
You actually were getting a lot of support when you were in jail. I don't know if you even know.
I had no idea until I got out. How much
people were supporting
you. That was one of my first ideas of how big it was. She was like, Rihanna, like, this was huge. She was like, you had people in Australia sharing your story. I was like, what?
Yeah, it was shared far and wide, and you got a lot of support. There was a lot of comrades that were concerned about you. Yeah. And were following, like, minute to minute. Is she okay? Is she still in prison? Is she still in a men's prison? Like, there was practically hour-to-hour updates from, like, Philly Socialists were putting out updates.
Yeah.
So you had a lot of people that really were following your story and really were caring about you.
And that's probably the only reason I didn't kill myself when I got out. That's probably the only thing that kept me going, was knowing so many people cared about me, and, like, my cause. But then, I waited a little, like, an hour and a half or so, in my dad's vehicle with him. My trans friend had left, my trans comrade. She had class or something. So then I started walking back to the prison, like, where, and, with my dad. And there was this one cop who was, like, at, like, the guard station or whatever. It was like, you can't go in. And I was like, they told me to, like, they told me to come back.
Come back and get your stuff, right.
They told me to come here. And he was like, oh, well, like, it closed, like, the stuff return or whatever, closes at, like, 5. And it's, like, 5:30 at this point. I'm like, they told me to come back after waiting. And my dad, who, isn't really a comrade, was actually getting pissed at the cop. And was like, we were standing on, like, this little median. And the cop was like, you need to get off of my post. And my dad was like, yeah, my dad was like getting pissed. And I was like, come, like, he's not going to fucking listen. He's a pig. And I looked at the dude and he just kind of glared at me. Then we walked back and there was like a bike cop at the front of like the prison.
Okay.
Like some dude on a bike. And we were like, what is happening? And so then he went and, like, we explained to him what was happening, and he went and, then he came back and was like, there was a mistake, like, he didn't realize that you needed to get your stuff back.
Even though you and your father both clearly explained to him that you needed to get your stuff.
Yeah. And,
perhaps if he's that slow processing of things, he shouldn't be dealing with the public.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly. So then when I walked back, I walked past his little booth. I stuck my tongue out at him and smiled. Not even gonna lie, I had that moment of childish victory.
Uh-huh.
I got my stuff.
I kind of wish that part had been on camera, at least. That must have been. That could have been shared by 100,000 people.
It was kind of iconic. And then I went, I got my phone, and I was like, where are my shoes? They were like, oh, you didn't ask for them. Like, you have to come back in a couple days. And I was like, I don't even live here.
You didn't ask for your shoes
back. I was like, I assumed when I asked for my stuff back.
My stuff? Oh, and my shoes, mind you.
Like, what? Too. So I'm like, whatever, it's fine. Like, I'll get new shoes.
Right.
Like, I'll get new boots. So I have my phone. I turn my phone on.
And thousands of messages.
Thousands of, like, messages on Facebook, messages on like, text. People, like, my friends, like, from across the country. Like, just, like, stuff like, are you okay? Was that you? Are you okay? Like, and I was in some group chats with, comrades, and I was reading back in them, just, like, them organizing and trying to get me out and updating right. the world and stuff like that. And just, like, looking at it, people were going at all hours trying to help me. And it was pretty cool. Like, the support.
And this was just grassroots people. Like, yeah. This was not any organized thing. It was just people that cared about you and your cause that were coming together. It was a great organizing
yeah.
that was done by everyone that was involved in that.
Yeah, it was very power to the people, which was pretty cool.
Like, it's horrible. We all wish you hadn't had to go through what you went through, but it was good that you had people behind you.
Yeah.
Caring about you.
Exactly.
And after putting you through all this, did they drop all the charges?
So, it was a process. They dropped the felonies within, like, 3 days.
Right, they had some kind of, like, attempted arson, I think, yeah. is one of the felonies they gave you.
Yeah, like, endangerment, possessions of instrument of a crime.
Being the lighter.
Yeah.
Right.
So
they dropped those right away.
They dropped those after, like, a day. Then it was, like, a several-month process with my lawyer, lawyers talking to them, and like it eventually ended up all getting dropped, and they still were messing with, like, toying with me till mm-hmm. the end. They didn't officially drop it until the day before my court date. I'm wow. like, okay, I already took off of work, I already got everything lined up. Like, I'm glad it's dropped, but, like, you knew you were going to drop it a week ago.
Right. They could have given you some notice so you didn't have to miss work and...
Yeah. Because I had gotten a new job, after I came back, because my job had fired me, as soon as I came back.
Because of all the...
Because of all of it, yeah. Yeah. So, I lost my job.
Can I just say how much I hate the justice system in this country? The injustice system in this country.
Me too.
You were trying to just do a constitutionally protected right, and everything about you, you know, you were morally destroyed, you were emotionally destroyed, and financially destroyed for eventually... They didn't convict you of any crimes.
Yeah.
And they all get away with it.
Yeah.
And this is why we organize, people. This is why we get together and we fight these kinds of things.
Yeah. And another cool thing that was organized after it, I ended up doing a press conference in front of the mayor's, like, city hall in Philly. Like, we organized, like, this huge press conference. And, like, we had people doing speeches. We had... other people from Philly Socialists. We had the Black and Brown Workers Cooperative. They had a couple people speak. I spoke. And I spoke about, like, the statistics of police brutality against marginalized communities, against Black and Brown communities, against poor communities, against queer communities. And how, on top of that, Blue Lives Matter one of the real roots here we'll get into. Blue Lives Matter, a lot of people are like, oh, it's like just like about cops and like how much like they help us and all that. First of all, that's so wrong. Even if that's what it is, it's morally wrong because ACAB, like, no cop is good because they are acting as tools of the state. And as long as the state is oppressive, cops will be our oppressors.
Right. You're complicit if you're not standing up to the system.
Yeah.
You're participating in the system of oppression, so you're complicit in it.
Yeah.
You don't get a moral pass even if you're not out there beating people because you know what's happening.
Yeah. Exactly.
So what's next? Not like what crimes are you doing, obviously. We're not discussing.
We're gonna keep that on the low.
But do you have any organizing things you're working on now?
I'm not really.
Are you still just putting things back together?
I'm kind of piecing my life back together still. I'm only recently kind of dipping my fingers back into some more stuff. I'm thinking about, like, trying to organize some more stuff for, like, trans rights, because that's such an issue right now as well. So I'm really trying to brainstorm something to get going on that front.
Did you have a GoFundMe set up that you wanted to blog for your... Did you ever have a...
Was one. Okay. I don't need help anymore. I'm good. I'm just trying to piece my life back together emotionally. Pretty much my entire family, other than my parents and my brother, don't talk to me anymore.
All because of this situation?
Mainly. I mean, it was...
They're also...
It was very strained before with my being trans. Mm-hmm. And this kind of was the final nail. So there's just no communication anymore, like, at all.
Well, family can be either what you're born into or what you make, so,
yeah.
You know, you've got a lot of people that back you, and we're all glad you're still here and that you made it out, at least somewhat safely. You know, it could have, even though it was horrible, you could have been a statistic, and we're glad you're not.
Yeah.
We're so happy that you're here.
Yeah.
Any last words for this? It was a pretty grueling interview emotionally here. Anything light we can end on?
Smash the state.
I love it. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure having you.
Thank you for having me.
To my listeners, thank you for sticking with us through this interview. I know it was a bit of a gut check at times, but, you know, this is a story that needs to be told, and... You don't get these kinds of stories other places. You do not hear the victim side of this stuff on the mainstream media. So that's what we're trying to do here. And we need your help. That's why we do not take any corporate money. We only take donations from our listeners and people that believe in the cause. So go to that website, www.njrevolutionradio.com. Click on the donate button. You can buy a mug. You can buy our NJRR logo. Or we can get you one with Brian and Pat's face on it. And the Wine Women in Revolution mugs are coming. But for some reason, they printed oval instead of circular. But they are in the route, too. We appreciate you so much. The future is yours to create. Go out there and create it.